Hey, and thanks for listening. This is Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Let's get started.
Mixmaster Jeff.
On the ones and twos. You're listening to episode 13 of Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast, and I am here with Q Xavier. Q Xavier is a good friend of mine who I met on a plane. Yes, I met him on a plane on the way to Florida. And little did I know that sitting in the middle seat, I was going to make something outside of a single-serving friend, Fight Club reference, and instead made a friend who has helped me with a vast number of things in my life, from nutrition to some dating advice to just general life advice. The man's very smart, and I'm happy to have him on the podcast today for the first edition of Conversations in which we're doing a live in-person broadcast. He's actually sitting right here with me, Q Xavier.
I'm right here.
Why don't you come on, get all up close in this mic and tell everyone hello.
How are you doing? I'm Q Xavier. This is my first podcast, actually, so this is interesting. I was actually mentioned on a podcast one time, which is kind of more celebrity than I wanted, but there you go. Now here I am.
I'm a little shocked by that, Q. Let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
You're a Renaissance man. I see you as having experience in just about everything. Cool. There's very little that I've said to you in the past, two and a half years that we've been friends.
Has it been
where
that long?
Whatever it's been, but there have been very few opportunities where I've said, "Hey, Q, have you heard about fill in the blank?" And you go, "No, I don't know anything about that." Usually, and it could be the most obscure topic in the world, but usually you come out with, "Oh yeah," and then there was the thing with the other thing that preceded that, and then that's based on a book and a novel by so and so and such and such. Q, what do you do? Tell people what you do.
What I do.
Who are you?
Oh, wow. Are we going to those deep existential questions? No. What I do, how I make my money, how I make my living, is I'm a strength coach for a fight team out of Philadelphia. I work with fighters, primarily Muay Thai fighters, so traditional Thailand boxing, kickboxing, to be specific, and also mixed martial arts fighters as well. We have two fights. We have one coming up this Friday, and we have another tournament, the WKA's, coming up next week. So this is kind of an interesting time.
So if this is going to be going live on Monday,
yes.
Then what that would actually mean is that the fight was this past Friday.
The mixed martial arts fight, the Bellator fight, will have been this Friday, or will have already passed. So by the time you guys listen to this, we will know whether or not we are getting ready for another fight or whether or not we're training and making a fighter stronger.
Whether you knocked out or got knocked out.
For the most part, yes. Or technically won based upon points. Yeah. That's kind of like, I feel like that's a double entendre with business. Sometimes you can technically win based upon points. It's like the worst RFP ever. Worst RFP win ever.
Fascinating. So I want to rewind.
Yeah.
The rewind is this. There are going to be individuals listening to this and they're going to say, okay, we've been listening to the conversations and we've heard all various different types of people. We've gotten content marketers, we've gotten web developers, crisis communications people, social business experts. What's up with this Muay Thai training dude? So I feel like I should set the stage a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I should set the stage. Well, first, before I even set the stage of who you are and why we're here today, I think we got to tell the people about what we were originally going to talk about.
Oh, my goodness.
So prior to this conversation, there was a conversation that took place almost, 6-8 months ago at this point, where we were going to do an episode entitled Why I Still Believe in Apple, in which I was going to defend the position of why I still believe Apple is relevant and should not be counted out of the game, and Q was going to take the position of why Android is actually the dominant platform and will continue to be in, and Apple's slipping. And what we decided when we first did that podcast, and about an hour and 15 minutes later of us just basically quasi fanboying out and not really moving very far, we decided 6-8 months later when we wanted to revisit the topic that we didn't even want to talk about that because neither of us are particularly overwhelmed by anything that either iPhone or Android are doing.
I think the word that I used on the telephone was complacent. I am not wowed by anything. What was it you were saying? The wow, the screen can move with my...
yeah.
It monitors my eye movement. Oh, I can use my voice to make a phone call. Okay, welcome to 2003. That's really cool. Like,
yeah.
We haven't done... We've done that before.
Yeah.
It's 2014. Can we... Not, you know, not to be a dick about it, but we have man-made craft that has exited the galaxy, and we're talking on Star Trek-like devices that, you know, take care of, you know, data that we no longer have to manage in our brains anymore. Like, you don't have to know your own home phone number. You have to just transfer it via, you know, beaming, Bluetooth, whatever you want to use, whatever data packet transfer mechanism you want to use, you can use that. And I'm sorry, the standard has been raised as far as things that will wow. And that's technology. You know, years ago, hundreds of years, thousands of years ago, it was a sundial. Now I'm not even wearing a watch. You're wearing a Fitbit. You know, we argue about LCD displays on quantitative self devices.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Like,
so ultimately what we're saying is we're kind of bored.
Yeah.
We're kind of bored with what's happening.
If you're going to create consumption devices, then I'm going to need you to, you know, at least do something to make that exciting for me.
And I'm glad that we've gotten over the platform of that, because what I've been saying for a couple of years is, you know, when the Android iPhone debate rages on, I'm typically the one that tries to step into that flame war and says something. Both of our phones can text. Both of our phones can tweet. I can access Facebook from mine. It appears as though you can access Facebook from yours. About 90% of what we all need are available on either phone. Yeah. You could even get away with a Windows phone or a BlackBerry and do all of those things. It's really no big deal anymore.
I can't believe you, sir. How dare you bring up the B word and the W word in the middle of an Apple Android conversation?
Q was one of the last holdouts in my network for the BlackBerry. He was the one holding on for D. He's like, man, it's got this physical keyboard. It's real good for email.
It's excellent. It's still, it's, how does that, how do you, you can't maintain any type of tech cred and still have, no, you can. You can still maintain tech cred. It takes a lot more, hack worthiness. I'm going to coin that. You have to be, you have to hack your way into this world if you have a piece of technology that's slightly off. You really have to want it. So that's what I told myself at night when I went to bed with my BlackBerry. And I had my extended battery life of days versus a day.
It really was excellent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And, you know, you see the new ones and it has the carbon fiber back and it feels like a device versus a toy. That's nice. It just feels good. Mm. Sorry. It's something that's still nice. Unfortunately, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff that some of it's good, some of it, well, a little of it's good, but I'm not in at now BlackBerry to tell them what to do at all. So, you know, those guys...
It's all right. They're probably not listening. It seems that they missed most of what people were analysts. And
anybody.
They were like,
anybody.
Maybe
Gardner,
you should consider...
Forster.
No. Our core people will never leave.
Read White Web? No, none of that. No. You're not going to read any of those techno gadgets?
So I want to focus us on this and come back. You know, we could banter about all the mobile things as we often do. But here's why Q is on the show. Q, here's why you're on the show.
Please.
Because there's not a topic that you and I have not discussed, although typically not being recorded.
Sure.
We've talked for everything from mobile devices, social business, inspiration, motivation, how health and business fit together, entrepreneurialism, social business concepts, and we've even gotten as far down as the singularity. Yes, sir. Remember
Ray
that conversation?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, we can do that.
We could have recorded that. I think we actually solved all the problems of mankind and it's lost to the ether.
It's gone.
But, you know, I thought it would be fun to have you on the show, talk a little bit about some of the things that you're working on.
Oh, wow.
Specifically some of the things that we recently talked about with the podcast and the show notes and some of those things that you're working on.
Got it.
Also wanted to just talk about, you know, some of the things you're looking to do with the public speaking and sort of the slant that you're taking on that. Talk a little bit about the whole Eric Thomas thing and how you introduced me to that.
Yeah.
So I just figured we could chat a little bit about that. And, you know, you've always been a fascinating fellow to me. So I figured it would just be good to have you on the show. Talk a little bit about those things.
I'm here now, undistracted.
Good.
My brain is clear. I love
good.
It.
Makes good.
Me happy.
So... we've been talking recently about this idea you had for providing this secondary layer of information for podcasters. So
right.
We've got this kind of rebirth of podcasting out there. People are starting their podcasts. You know, I'm on episode 12, so I'm kind of part of the new generation of podcasters. And you know, you had looked at some of the shows that are out there that are very successful in providing additional value, additional things, and you came up with this idea. Tell us a little bit about that idea.
Well, the basic premise, and it, I don't know, it's an idea. I have a couple of people on my team working on it, and we're kind of refining it right now, but the idea is, you know, show notes, time-stamped, researched show notes. So you listen to your podcast. There's other podcasts I don't know. You know, they're not sponsoring you, so I don't want to necessarily put them out there. But
we can talk about the ones we love. It's all okay. Good. Okay. We can always show love.
Okay, excellent. I didn't know. All right, so
for instance, send them a bill afterwards.
Oh, man. Oh, money. So, there's podcasts out there that go on for extended periods of time. You know, there's Joe Rogan Experiment. There's Let's Make Mistakes with Mike Montero. There's Six Pixels of Separation. There's, you know, I feel like to go through the list, it would be a whole nother podcast, just a list of shows that are really awesome, that have rich content in them. And it's the idea that we have these conversations and I'll make these references or people will make these references. And it's the ownership of the podcast owner or the podcaster. To create great and rich show notes, everything from infographics, et cetera. Some things infographics, some things video, et cetera, so on and so forth. Joe Rogan has gone so far as to have people on camera in the studio that'll throw things up while the person is talking so that that way they can try to keep up with it. But 3 hours of conversation becomes a bit much. So at, you know, 14 minutes or at hour, you know, 1 hour to 27 minutes, Dr. whoever might have made a reference to the way in which vitamin D3 interacts with the body. And there's research that connects with that. So we want to connect that. Or she might have mentioned, or another doctor, he might have mentioned a particular getting ketone bodies into your diet, supplementary. You know, he might put that reference in his show notes, he might not. And we just want to capture that and put it out there. Also, there's a chance to do kind of some affiliate things and, you know, get a little bit fancy with it and do some nice information work with it. I'm doing air quotes right now.
Yes, I can confirm.
Do some information work with it. But it's something that we've done a couple of test runs so far. We're just about ready to start rolling out a couple of additions of it just to kind of get the feelers and see what the people like, because, you know, the people will tell you. Evidently on the net, the comments bar is a thing. So we really wanted to do that. I wanted to do that. You know, I wanted to have it so that while I'm, you know, once I'm done listening to a podcast, I can go back and not have to remember what they talked about. I can actually look at, you know, a step beyond transcription, like actual notes.
So one of the podcasts that I think does this very well is Scott Stratton's Unpodcast. Mm-hmm. He does a pretty good job where he actually says, like, here's where I was talking about why QR codes kill kittens and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're highlighting here is the shortcoming of where the technology is right now, that sort of how videos are not searchable by their content and how podcasts are not searchable by their content unless you provide that written text-based information. We can't actually get that. So, you know, when we're watching TED Talks and they reference certain pieces of research, it'd be nice to have links to that research. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is that this is a problem that's out there and you're looking to provide that solution.
That's exactly it. At the end of the day, you're missing, you know, people, though Google has and, you know, Siri, Apple has, you know, voice-to-text, it's voice-to-text searching capabilities. I can say, you know, tell me about, you know, or you can ask a question, but at the end of the day, it still has to search that text. And you can tag forever, but it's not as good as, and, you know, there's people who know more about this than I do, but it's not as good as having that content rich there and people rich on the page. And then you can do all types of things once it's actually text, not just audio. Audio is great for walking, biking, driving, et cetera. Biking. I have a couple bike people, but Coalition of Philadelphia people get mad at me for wearing headphones while I bike. But
oh, it's the only way. I can't even bike without the music. I'm like, I'll just stay home.
You need it. In Philadelphia, you have to have that. Philadelphia is already like an anger-filled, friendly city.
Wow. For right. those that have never visited Philadelphia, I just want to make it clear that may have been the most accurate way to describe Philadelphia ever.
Yeah.
An anger-filled, friendly city.
Yeah.
Everybody's so nice, but they're so angry.
Yeah, why is everybody so angry here? But they gave me directions. It's like, yes, you interrupted them because they were doing a thing, and now they have to tell you how to get to a place. But they'll do it. And, you know, they 100%. Won't just... Yeah, they won't ignore you.
It's like New York is the nicest, rude place ever. Everybody's nice. They'll tell you where directions, but they're just in a hurry. They got places to go.
Exactly. They're really curt.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Thanks.
Make a left. What happens after? Gotta go.
Yeah. So switch gears.
Yep.
Here's something I want to ask you about because I'm always fascinated by this. For as long as I've known you, sir, you are shrouded in mystery. The whole Q Xavier thing is something of... It is. No, it's shrouded in mystery. For the longest time, you didn't even have your face on any avatars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you search you just find all this stuff with nothing. Uh-huh. Like, there's all of this nothing out there. It's like you have all of these people who, I know Q Xavier. Like, there's a whole underground network of people who know of what you're doing,
right.
who swear by what you're doing, who reference you, who speak of you.
That's cool.
But you do, like, the whole internet search of Q Xavier, and you just find, like, a few pictures and an Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. So, you know, when we get into the conversation about social media marketing,
right.
which is something that I'm often in a conversation about,
yes.
you know, I'm advising people to put themselves out there oftentimes, to position themselves, find their brand voice, yada, yada, yada. You have chosen secrecy. You're just kind of under the radar, but you're still building this powerful brand
mm-hmm.
around these set of ideas and through this, you know, pieces of advice and methodologies and you know, all of the different things that are part of your philosophy. Why the choice to be so under the radar?
I find without being too... I guess the idea, without being too heavy-handed on it, it's the idea that in order to create a pull, you have to really have a dense mass. You really have to have a thing. People want to push on. If you were to be wearing a suit right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If I see you, I go, man, that's a well-dressed guy in a nice suit. I go to, let's say I touch the suit, and I'm like, oh, that, you know, that suit's kind of, the fabric didn't feel right. Something's off about it. Things of that nature. You want to have substance. Substance always, to me, in my mind, substance always wins. And that's what people are truly looking for when they're out there. At the end of the day, when I speak to, beginning of the day, end of the day, when I'm speaking to somebody or talking to somebody or writing an email to somebody, I want what I say to come from a substantive place. They don't necessarily have to see me and be like, oh, I trust this guy immediately. I'm not that, I'm not there yet or today or maybe tomorrow will be. Makes no difference. Those things can happen organically. You can choose to have those happen organically or you can push them out there. I choose organic right now. You talk to me much like our Apple Android conversation 8 months ago. You talk to me 8 months from now. I might be like, let's just push it all out. Our substance, our fabric is great. What we're woven together is beautiful. I'm completely 100%. Let's just go. Right now, I'm like at 98%. And, you know, it's not a, we're not pushing out a particular product. It's a whole thing that really, we really want to build and push that out there and see how things go and react accordingly. And, you know, really, and I shouldn't say react, I should say really respond, in a depth manner. And I want to, that's something that I want to provide as I provide advice or expertise to, you know, yourself or to, any number of people that come to me for any number of reasons, whether or not they're trying to, you know, get themselves situated for, you know, they're, you know, I'm strength coaching, but, or personal training or whatever. And they're coming to me because they're like, I want to lose 10 pounds. That quickly falls away. That's what that looks like. That nice suit that looks a certain way. What you get back to is the substance, what they're really there for. I'm getting ready for job interviews. I'm getting ready to go to the beach to meet chicks, bro. Or I'm getting ready to go to a job interview. I'm getting ready to go meet my family. I'm going to go to a 10-year reunion, and I want everything about what I do to be that. I want everything that's happening inside to reflect outside. So there's so that happens a lot with my quote brand, with who I am. A lot of things are happening inside. And then when they come outside, I want them to show a certain way. I even had my own, the person who taught me, I put up a video of somebody doing a medicine ball slam, and he called me to the mat like, hey, make sure you maintain the standard. And I was like, you know what? As I put things out there, I have to make sure there's a standard that's maintained. It's not just out there. And that's me. That doesn't work for all situations. Hasn't worked for some of my clients that I've worked for in the past. Sometimes it's just get it out there. It's good enough. You got to hear what the public says and how they feel about it.
So let me push on you for a little bit on that, because I always stress quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. Always. I'm always, you know, why are you putting it out there? Is there a reason for you to put it out there? And, you know, with the example of your mentor kind of pushing back on you and saying, is it up to the standard? Mm-hmm. Where I would come back at you with is just a question. As those that know you, those that are, you know, have worked with you, mm-hmm. that have heard you speak, that have kind of heard your philosophy and everything on things, we have a certain belief in that philosophy, and we put a lot of trust and credit in that. At what point are you not hitting the publish button when you should?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because there's that, like, good artist ship, and sometimes it's not going to be. Google puts everything out in beta, which can be debated. But, you know, you have so many things that you're working on at all times, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering at what point is the chicken ready to hatch out of the egg versus being in there a little too long? Yeah. At what point? How do you make that decision when you're ready to put that out there?
That's part of that. You know, everybody talks about failing, right? Like, a lot of people really talk about, you know, make sure you got to put it out there and you don't fail. Failure starts with that publish button, period. The ability to not put things out there for any number of reasons. It's not ready yet. It's ready. The site's not ready yet. You can do Tumblr. Well, the Tumblr, I don't like the way this, you know, all those things happen. A lot of times it's just a matter of just a lot of times it is, like I said, for certain instances, it's not necessary. Like, you can throw a million things on Instagram and, you know, I had one video that everybody, the true weightlifting video, like, everybody loved that video, but I've had tons of weightlifting videos. What was so special about that one? The text, the way in which it was situated, all the rest of that fun stuff. Yes. All of those things. The only way I got that was by putting that out there. And that wasn't even somebody that I worked with. That's just a video we worked on. I thought it was really cool. You know, I think that's something that we're remedying internally. That's something we're remedying internally. And we're just kind of, you know, as we churn these things together, where, you know, our failure in the past has been, you know, really creating this rich thing. And then it's really super dense. And then it can't fit through any mechanism. It's too much.
Well, I'll tell you, I found that about a lot of things when you and I interact, that your ideas are sometimes so big mm-hmm. and there's so much to it mm-hmm. that the first step is, how do we trim that down and pare it down for normal human consumption? Because you put so much thought and effort into it. I mean, I remember back when, you know, early on when we first met and you were telling me about things you're doing, you were early in your particular field, talking about using video, talking mm-hmm. about using podcasts, talking about blogging, mm-hmm. talking about building communities, building mm-hmm. offline communities. So you have all of these things happening.
Yeah.
And typically, again, it's taking that big idea, paring it down, knowing what to launch first.
Right. So I think that's where go ahead.
I was going to say, where are you getting these ideas and start – because seriously, you'll come out with something that, like, you'll hear about it weeks or months before I've even heard about it, and I live on the internet. I literally have an Ethernet port in my body.
I wouldn't doubt it. I would not. So, if you've ever met Jeff Gibbard, you would understand this man is connected in ways that boggle my mind.
So, I mean, but you're still hearing about things, thinking about mm-hmm. things, finding out about things, mm-hmm. yet – oftentimes when we discuss these ideas, a week later I've got something up online and you're still kind of crafting it, still kind of tweaking it.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to keep yourself ahead of the game? And then what are you doing to push yourself to get more into the game?
I stay ahead of the game. I don't look at it as staying ahead of the game. I just look at it as watching. I'm an information nut. At the end of the day, the reason why the show notes thing was something that, you know, it states a piece of, you know, a character piece that I have, which is, you know, I experience information. You know, I see a thing and, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, you hear, you know, people hear things, clients hear things, they're, you know, how does that make me feel? Things that, no. I want to find out more about that immediately. So pick up my phone or my devices, you know, don't call it a phone anymore, call it a device. Because they're devices, they do too much. You can pay for things. I have a nicest wallet on my phone. So, or device. So pick up whatever device that's hooked up to the net, look it up, create a playlist of things that I'm going to watch, listen to, and read. Evernote, notes, etc. Consume that at 2x or at speed, depending on what my day and night looks like. 2x speed if it's podcasts, sometimes if it's somebody that I really like, then I listen to it ad nauseum. And then, you know, if they say a thing, don't even write it down. Just look it up. Just look it up right then. Why wait? Looking up doesn't hurt. Finding out more doesn't hurt. It actually lends validity to what the person is saying. Find out why they're right. Find out why they're wrong, the ancient art debate. And then from there, develop your opinion on it. What could they do? What's missing? What are the holes? What's not there? If there's something not there, or, you know, they're kind of just so focused over here that they miss this piece, start crafting something in that space. Then what we do is, you know, what I do is I start crafting a thought pattern. I sleep on it. And then, you know, we start to ship things out. You start to push things out a little bit, see how, what people think about them, with the, nutrition, you know, programming, with, you know, newslettering and things of that nature, kind of seeing how, has it been overdone? Has it been underdone and people just don't know the language yet? Am I the quote correct voice to be, to trumpet that? And then, you know, then you start getting into, and then, you know, that's when we start worrying about, you know, other things, and what, you know, what the ripple effects will be, you know, what our responsibilities will be, et cetera, or are presently, period. If we say we're going to ship something for a person for a month, for 6 months, what's our responsibility for that month to make sure that happens, period. If I say I'm going to be available for you to text me when you're at Chick-fil-A and you want to get, or you're at, you know, D'Alessandro's, or you're at, you know, whatever steakhouse, and you want to know what's paleo, what's going to keep this in line. I'm getting ready for this thing and I want my macros to line up. What's going to do it? I have to actually be available. That requires time that I don't even know what I'm off. I don't even know what kind of time that requires because I don't know your schedule unless I do. Mm-hmm. Then I know to ask about your schedule. So I feel like, I hope that answered your question.
May have.
Okay.
Not sure.
I
how, yeah, you stay ahead and how you plan to keep up and keep pushing things out.
Yeah, I plan to, I mean, how do I stay ahead? I just, whenever media comes out, whatever mechanism, I just research it.
Yeah, I mean, basically what it sounds like is you find something and then you go way down deep in the rabbit, yeah, hole, like way deep into, yeah, it. And you and you think about it and slice and dice it from such a multitude of angles that when – and this is to the point of, you know, nutrition and somebody's schedule, that it's not just like a baseline level of preparation and investigation into something. It is drilling down so very deep that you understand it from every possible angle and basically can be ready to deal with it at any point.
When working with – let's say we're working with a fighter or working with even a client – you can't control every variable, but you can know a lot. You can understand a lot about your clients and their dispositions. Very simple questions. Are you, you know, when you go to brunch, do you prefer eggs or do you prefer pancakes?
Oh, eggs. I'm a savory guy.
You're a savory guy. Mm. So that tells a ton. And somebody could go online right now and look up, you know, taste bud, you know, vitamin deficiencies, mineral deficiencies, gut bacteria, probiotics, etc., to start parsing together all that information. So why not just do that? Like, if somebody gives you, usually it's a simple input that comes from a layer of complexity. You're a complex adaptive system. Nassim Nicholas Taleb will say you're anti-fragile. He has the book Anti-Fragile. He'll say that you get stronger by breaking down. So at the end of the day, if I research or anybody researches those pieces, you can start to see, well, okay, that's why he has a predilection towards eggs, and then you can add, or towards savory, or towards whatever, salty, etc., bitter, umami, sweet, taste bud profile. You can start to create an archetype of who you are, like who you are, Jeff Gifford, but how you operate. mm-hmm. your system, your process. And you can start to insert things and start to play around with that system. I can't play around if I don't have, you know, if looking at it from a music standpoint, it's great to tweak the little tiny levels, but you have to work on the volume. Then you can work on the bass, the treble, the fade, the balance. Then we can start getting into the EQ pieces, the little fine tuning. Well, what's the game? You know, we can adjust those little tiny pieces.
So let's look at this from the perspective. This is actually interesting because even though, you know, the majority of the listeners of this show and the people who are like in the kind of social media game may have some familiarity or not with nutrition and things like that. Yeah. I think what you're getting at is in terms of deeply understanding the root, not just the symptoms. Mm-hmm. This is a marketing issue as well. As a marketer, what you're looking at with any sort of audience that you're going after is to understand them as deeply as possible. Mm-hmm. We're not just trying to understand, you know, somebody likes, let's say they say that they like jazz. You know, are they a Miles Davis kind of jazz person? Or are they a Coltrane kind of jazz person? Are they, you know, what kind of jazz are they? And you can kind of begin to build an archetype around them, which is what this whole kind of new world of social media marketing has opened to us, is all this data and all this information. And you're using a lot of that data in the nutrition side of things. Marketers are using that kind of data on the targeting and marketing side of things. Where do you see this stuff going with more and more information being open and with, you know, all of the ability to target on different sorts of things online? Do you think that there's the ability through data, given that what you do is a thorough analysis, is it just that you have the data inputs, or do you have to actually go into a qualitative analysis of someone to be able to really understand their motivations?
I think that's the piece that, you know, we're trying to achieve that by the development of algorithms, correct? The when, you know, if thens and et cetera, and, you know, parsing all these things down. But I think it occurs to me that the more, that's kind of what the people are there for. Like, that's what that's what you're there for. That's what, you know, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this right now, you know, are there for. And that's that piece that says, okay, here's all these data pieces. You know, we're going to talk about jazz, Miles Davis, Coltrane. Well, who influences who has been influenced by Miles Davis and Coltrane? Huge swaths of data. Okay, now from that huge swath of data, are any of those people that we want to talk to? Yes, this huge 20% or this huge 35%. Okay, now, you know, you might say if it's hip hop, you might go Mos Def. If it's, we're still talking about Miles Davis and Coltrane. If, you know, we might talk about, you know, you might find out that Neil deGrasse Tyson loves jazz, which he does. So all of a sudden you have an astrophysicist next to a hip hop artist. Well, and their link is Miles Davis and, you know, Coltrane. Okay, so jazz. And then, you know, you lump those together and you said, okay, so what do those guys do? How do they overlap? Well, they've both been on Real Time with Bill Maher. Oh, well, Real Time with Bill Maher, that's a liberal channel, I'm conservative. Well, is the group that you're going after liberal or conservative? Well, they're this or that. You know, and you can start to connect these pieces from very, very simple things. Like, you know, it is that arc that kind of says, that arc of complexity, from simplicity to complexity back to simplicity. You know, you'll come back with something that says, oh, well, just make sure from now on you use Facebook. What? Why would you? What? Or don't ever touch Facebook. Your company should never be on Facebook. Yeah. You should do everything through Twitter and through Pinterest. What? How do you get that? Because Jazz, Miles Davis, Miles Davis, Mos Def, Neil deGrasse Tyson, boom, these guys. Neil deGrasse Tyson uses Twitter as a chance to use his brain, you know, expose himself to the world, not to answer questions, just to put things out there. And he himself has even said that via Twitter, he said this on London Real, I believe, where he was like, via Twitter is his chance to put things out there, not to answer questions. And he even gets called to the carpet, where he said that, you know, he was going through an airport in Charlotte Airport. It's a great distance between the gates and transfers. And he was like, if there's a wormhole next to my gate, I could get to my gates faster. And then somebody tweeted back, if there was a wormhole, there'd be no need for the airport.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how he connects to his audience. Not necessarily Facebook, not any other mechanism. He finds that Twitter is the best way to drop his 140 plus characters
mm-hmm.
onto the world and then get a response and not have to deal with, why should I care about math? He just gives you the reasons why to care about meth relative to the 100 billion hamburgers sold at McDonald's. That's why you care about meth, because that'll get you to the moon and back.
I always love trying to follow you.
But that,
how you get from like one point to another, it's fascinating. Sometimes I wish I could just like rewind my time with Q and like rewatch it. And because ultimately it is that simplicity to complexity to simplicity, mm-hmm. that I listen to some of your examples and ways that you explain things, and I find myself getting lost in the complexity and then seeing the simplicity of it and then back again.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
That's thank you. I think.
Yeah. No. Most definitely. Most okay. definitely. So.
Sorry, when I said most def, I meant to say Yasin Bey. He changed his name.
Oh my God! Now how am I going to parse that all back together? You're like, here's the entire equation. Wait a minute, I know I just solved it, but I'm replacing a variable.
Well, it has to be accurate.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Is like, and that's what strategists, that's what consultants, that's what people are getting called to the carpet on. We have too much information, so at the end of the day, we can find inaccuracies in what you say immediately. So you not only have to have why you're right. But why are you incorrect? Why are you inaccurate? What's the other side of your coin?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I used to do, you know, I wasn't always a strength coach or personal trainer. I was a project manager. I worked on some pretty, you know, I was a project manager, program director, you know, spokesperson, did a whole bunch of fun things along with the fun stuff that I'm doing now for pretty decent though. And I found that, you know, the more you can, you know, answer the why not or the why you're wrong. Because that's what a lot of people, there's always that person or those people in your audience. You have 3,000 people, you've got 100 people that are sitting there going, that's not correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why most sales strategies say the first thing that you should try and do, or not maybe not the first thing, but one of the things you should do is overcome as many objections as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Another person has said, I can't remember who had said this, but one of the best ways to close a sale is to be able to describe the problem to your prospect better than they can actually explain it.
Mm.
So if you understand their problem even better than they do, they will generally come to you for that answer because you understand their problem. I've actually taken to in my strategy documents, I've recently added some new, I'm constantly updating and changing the structure of it to make sure that it works better and is more understandable and more relatable and easier to read. And one of the things I've begun adding at the beginning was, here's what your business problems are, here are some of the challenges that you face, and here's who your audience is in the beginning section, so that we set that as the stage so that when we're giving, here are the objectives and here are the strategies, it's through the lens of we understand what the problem is, we understand what the challenges are, and here's who your audience is. So it sets those variables.
You're setting up the framework for your conversation no matter what. You're setting what's inbounds.
Yep.
Here's the problem. Here's where you want to go. Here's, and then the document is here's how you get there.
Mm-hmm. It's the whole purpose of the research in the beginning and the whole fact finding and digging deep and
that's wrong.
Understanding people. Yeah. It's, you know, if you have, for instance, most deaf versus Yaz, who?
Oh, Yasin Bey's. Yasin changed Bey's. His name.
Yeah. There we go.
So the reason why I don't know yet.
Yeah. So Q, I'm gonna have to have you back on so we can discuss some other things.
We're
we've hit our time, but we have so much more to talk about. So you'll come back for a part two.
Yeah, sure.
Promises. Promise on the air.
You know what? If your audience wants me back on, have them email you, have them tweet you, say that guy Q was completely off his rocker and I want to hear it again.
Excellent. If you think Q is off of his rocker and would like to hear him again, put it in the comments of the show, and we'll have show notes in this, because if I didn't, I know that you would call me to the mat on that. So... here's hoping that when this airs, that you guys are invited back to another fight next week.
Yeah.
And,
but when this airs, there will be a fight in Richmond, Virginia. The WKA World Kickboxing Association Fight Firm, Cool Hearts Muay Thai will be there. Fight Firm MMA and Cool Hearts Muay Thai will be there. I will more than likely be down there as well. Yeah.
Cool.
Should I do the whole... if you want to reach me thing, or excuse Avery.
Yeah, so what I like to say is, Q, tell people where they can be social with you. I stole that from John Steyer, who used to work for me and had Social Echoes, our previous podcast. So I'm going to say it to you. Q, tell people where they can be social with you.
I am Q Xavier, Q-X-A-V-I-E-R. You can find – that's at QXavier on Twitter, QXavier.com, Q-X-A-V-I-E-R.com. You can also if you need to send me an email at QXavier@QXavier is another place. If that's too much information?
No, I'm going to put it all in the show notes too. Excellent. So just in case nobody can decipher that from the actual audio. They'll be able to see it in the show notes. No worries. And then you're also on Instagram.
Yes, I am on Instagram. Yeah. That is Q Xavier as well.
You'll enjoy that. That's a good thing.
You'll see everything from people from acrobatics to Muay Thai to lifting heavy weights to donuts.
Yeah. And if you just find yourself with a basic or even a complex question about fitness and nutrition, there's literally not a person in this world that I would trust to answer that question thoroughly than Mr. Q Xavier. So, yeah, if you have one of those, you can certainly reach out to Q, and he's typically been very fast on the response for that. So, Q, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
You're
man.
My boy. Pounce.
Bow. There it is. Done.
Good night, everybody.
Mazel tov.
Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Conversations. Be sure to go over to iTunes or Stitcher and give us a rating. Tell us what you love about the show, what you hate about the show. And we hope you come back for our next episode. Take care.